Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 69.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, hey everyone, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 69. I'm your host, Brendan Lowe, as always, and thank you very much for joining me in this new year, 2017. Isn't that crazy? Every year, I mean, we all say that, right? The new year turns, and it's just like, oh my God, is it that year already? And yes, it is that year. It's just funny because, you know, back in the day, or movies, right? I'm 32. You know, back when we'd watch movies, it'd be like in the future, 2017, right? Or I think some of you Back to the Future fans, if you ever seen Back to the Future, they would, you know, that date that came up in the future was October something, you know, I think a year ago or like that, and people like celebrated that that day as the Back to the Future, you know, to see if these things came to light. But it's just funny. I mean, 2017. You know, 20, 30 years ago, it was just like, you know, we thought it was going to be like George Jetson, right? Just flying around in these different types of cars. And I don't know, just funny. But yes, we are in 2017. I have a very, very special episode for everyone today. And it's going to be just a monstrosity of information and knowledge. Okay, I just want to let you know that. So don't get overwhelmed. Now, hopefully you listened to my last episode. That was just all talking. For you YouTube watchers, if you watch on YouTube the videos, because a lot of these are lessons, right? I don't just normally just speak for the entire time, which I did in the last episode. I don't upload those to YouTube. So if you guys do watch the videos on YouTube, I encourage you to go check out the podcast on iTunes, and you can listen to podcast 68. And in that episode, I go over 7 tips to make more progress in the new year. And these were a lot of general, but very powerful tips that if you follow and discipline yourself, you can make much more efficient progress in this new year. And I had a lot of great responses from those. A lot of people chimed in and say, oh, you know, this is exactly what I do. You know, thank you so much. And I definitely need to focus on that stuff. So I think it helped a lot of people kind of get rooted again and kind of get back on track and really focus on what is going to help them make progress in 2017. And, you know, growing in anything, right? Whether it's jazz piano, your fitness, your goals, your life goals, career goals, any sort of growth in our life is going to make us happy, right? It's going to make us feel good. I mean, one way just to feel good in general, just as a person, as a human being, right? If we just don't feel, sometimes you just wake up, you just don't feel good, right? Like I have this happen to all the time. You know, you'll wake up and you're just like, wow, it's sunny out. I just feel like crap. And I mean, I'm sure for people who are, you know, chronically depressed, this is what it feels like, you know, to them. I mean, you just can't get out of that rut, right? You just wake up no matter what. You just like, oh God, you just like, but anyway, my point is the one thing that I've found, if I ever wake up and, you know, I just don't feel good for, and I don't even know why, right, is just working on things. If I can discipline myself to make some sort of progress in the day, it always makes me feel better, whether that's going to the gym. Like I just, you know, I run for, you know, if I ran for 10 minutes, you know, that feels good because I got something accomplished. I grew a little bit. If I read a book, right? If I read for 10 to 15 minutes, like I grew a little bit. If I learn something new, right? If I take a walk or I see something new, just any sort of new experience, new growth is always going to help you feel better. So in 2017, again, you know, I really am excited for all the growth that you guys have and the potential to grow as a jazz pianist and just other areas of your life. But in jazz piano specifically, that's what this podcast is about. We're going to be doing a lot of information. JPS itself, the main course, is going to grow a lot as well. We have so many new revamps and remakes coming, the specialty courses we're going to release. So I'm pumped. I'm excited. I'm just very, very excited. I'm excited for the new year. I always love the beginning of a new year. Just, you know, it's the time to start over, right? We get to just, you know, write down our goals. It's just the best time to really get on track and change whatever you want to change in your life and make better, like you make your life better in all different ways. So to this episode, This episode is going to be, it's about an assessment. And as I'm recording this, I actually don't have a title for yet because it's such a smorgasbord of information. But it's basically going to be me explaining, it's going to be two things. It's going to be about you assessing where you are, okay, as a jazz pianist, what your skill level is in assessing these certain categories of your playing. Now, the other part of this episode is going to be about explaining to you the exact system, science, and methodology that I built JPS on. So the main course and all the specialty courses are built around this system, which has already helped, you know, thousands of people learn jazz piano, and the community, you know, people that sign up for the course and pay for the course receive this exact system that I built jazz piano off of. And it's my belief, it's my own educational creation to help people learn jazz piano. And I just stumbled upon it, you know, based on my own experiences. And a lot of people know this, is that, you know, I found it very difficult to learn jazz piano and very scattered, right? Just kind of all over the place. I learned one thing here, one thing there. And my journey was just, you know, complete. It felt like just I was lost, you know, pretty much the whole time. So if I was trying to go from California to Boston, right, I have family in Boston, I live in California, it was pretty much just throwing me in the middle of the map, you know, trying to find my way to either one of those places without any maps, tools, probably in pitch black. So when I kind of got out of college and, you know, I had a few experiences that led me to just really focus on creating the most structured and organized materials for my students as I started teaching more, so that they never felt that they didn't have a path. They always felt confident in what to do next, right? They always felt confident that they could go home. They knew exactly what they were going to practice. They knew exactly what they got out of the lessons. So I taught them in small bite-sized chunks, right? And they knew exactly why we were practicing it, so they could get to the next point, because, you know, ultimately they had a goal, they had a vision for how they wanted to play, and this is how the path we were going to follow to get them there. Now, a lot of the times when I would take lessons or just read materials and resources, it was just kind of random chunks of information. And I love to kind of, I give the analogy of like, it's like learning the alphabet, right? Starting from the letter M. You know, and then you might learn the letter J, and then the letter X, and then the letter B. And by the time you know it, you have kind of maybe like teens, like 14 letters, right? And you're still trying to find the other letters. So you know a lot of letters, but you don't know how they connect. You don't know how they're used in words, right? You don't know their purpose. You don't know how they function in words. You don't know. You just have these letters, right? These random letters that, of course, you do know. You can go to a library and learn these letters. You can go to websites and learn the letters. You can go to YouTube and learn the letters. But do you know how to build words from them? Do you know how to use them in a sentence? Do you know what they're used for, right? There's so much more to learning jazz and learning a skill than just learning these random bits of information, you know, how they connect, how they relate to each other, how you can use them. And the ability and that knowledge is power. It's power in jazz piano, and it gives you the power to learn freedom in jazz piano. And that's why our tagline is learning freedom. So this system is what I'm going to explain to you today. And this is going to be a long episode. I have lots of handwritten scribbled notes here. And so I'm going to be going over this entire system for you. And again, this system is to what you want to do with this is obviously it'll give you a good course and direction for the year to kind of put these pieces together for you. And again, you know, a little plug here, everything you're going to hear today on the system and the materials, all these materials are in the course, you know, are in JPS. So everything you hear is written out with practice exercises, workbook exercises, and lesson text and accompanying videos. And when I talk about SoundSlice and things like that, our functional software that's being integrated into the website it's going to be released with the solo piano system. I'm speaking a mile a minute. I'm amped right now. I'm sorry. But the SoundSlice is going to be released with the solo piano system. That's going to be the functional moving software with all the exercises I'm going to talk about today. So the freebie that we've created is going to be all these things that I speak of. So the freebie is going to incorporate, it's basically going to be a snapshot, of the system, which will allow you to assess all these different categories. Okay, so enough of that. Let's get into what, first, if you want that freebie of the system of everything I talk about today, you can get it at jazzpianoschool.com/podcast69. Okay, jazzpianoschool.com/podcast69. So, what is the system? Now, again, like I said before, Jazz Piano is built off of four main categories. Okay, so these four main categories are theory, technique, improv, and repertoire. Theory, technique, improv, and repertoire. Now, as I was developing my system and teaching students and myself as well, I mean, I basically took all the information I learned and continued to educate myself based on these categories. And my ability to organize the material into these categories actually propelled my skills, I mean, a hundredfold, because it allowed me to connect everything together. So I didn't just teach other students. I actually, you know, pretty much taught myself more and made so much more progress by organizing everything into these categories, okay? So again, theory, technique, improv, and repertoire. Now, is there a specific order? Basically, I like to put theory, technique, theory first always, technique, improv, and then repertoire. Repertoire is last. Again, that's like kind of the magic step where we apply everything to tunes. But there's a lot of work that goes in before we actually start playing tunes and before we start to apply concepts to the tunes. That's why it's the organization process is theory, technique, improv, and repertoire. Okay, so the first category of assessment and the first category of JPS in the learning process that I use to teach the students on JPS and in the main course is theory. All right, so what you want to do right now, you can download the checklist assessment while you listen to this episode. I'd recommend you do that. And then go through and rate these categories, okay? Rate the categories that are on there and kind of assess yourself. You can give yourself a score of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the worst, okay? Now, I'm not going to talk about everything on the checklist. I'm going to kind of go over things quickly because that would take a long time. But anyway, here we go. So theory. So one of the categories in theory is basically just going to be voicings, right? And so what does that entail, really? So triads, right? Major and minor triads. Okay. And again, if you listen to my voicing system pyramid, I kind of talked about this, but I'm going to go into it more. Now, so how many, you want to assess yourself. Do you know your voicings in this order, right? So triads, I would say, are the main starting block of voicing. So do you know all your major triads, right? You want to ask yourself that. You should be able to play all your major triads, all your minor triads. Now, the practice exercises that I give in JPS are very specific. So it goes like this. You should be able to play all your major triads in your right hand alone. And this is the system for practicing voicings that I use and all the exercises are created off of. So it's right hand alone. Okay, practicing through, and I'll get to the exercise in a second. Left hand alone, hands together, right hand with left hand bass notes. So your right hand plays the chord, your left hand plays the bass note in the left hand. So I'd practice my triads like this. Okay, and then finally bass note, and then hands together chord. Okay, so five steps to practice your voicings. Now, each of those five steps gets something else, okay? So the first way you want to practice your triads or any voicing that you learn, let's say you're on a more than triads, right? You're learning some nice voicing that, let's say it's like some G minor 7 chord like this, right? If you want to learn this voicing here, okay? You would use the same system, right hand alone. Well, that's a two-hand voicing. Excuse me. So you wouldn't use, obviously, the right hand and left hand alone with a two-hand voicing. Let's say you were trying to learn a voicing like this, okay, for a dominant 7 chord. So this is 7, flat 9, 3, 5, 13. Right, then you would use the system. Right hand alone, right, for all keys. Left hand alone, hands together. Right hand with left hand bass note, and then left hand bass note to both hands playing that voicing, right? Sorry, I got to... It's pretty difficult in your left hand to get that spread there, right? So, and you'd go through, again, back to major triads, you'd go through your root position chords first. Now, how do you play them? I always recommend you use your circle of fourths first. Now, the circle of fourths is going through your flat keys first, rather than the circle of fifths, which goes from C to G, right, which is all your sharp keys. Okay, now the circle of fourths, again, is you're going through by fourths. So you're going C, F, you're going up in fourths. B flat, E flat, A flat, D flat, G flat, B, E, A, D, G, C. Now jazz, as opposed to classical, most jazz tunes are in flat keys. You rarely see jazz standards in sharp keys, and that's the purpose of practicing through the circle of fourths, is that you're learning those flat keys first. Now you want to learn all keys similar, you know, so that you're good at all of them, but again, practicing through the circle of fourths is going to give you that extra edge to efficiently learning the flat keys first. Okay, so you practice your root position triads with all the steps through the circle of fourths, right? So you take your right hand alone, go through the circle of fourths. And this is all based on tempos, right? You start at a certain tempo, then as that gets better, you up the tempo. So I would maybe start at 60 BPM, so two beats per chord. One, two, chord, two, chord, two. Now this can be applied for anything. If you're learning an altered voicing, let's say you're learning this, right? Or this. Same thing, I just moved it down an octave. You would apply the same strategy. So I'd use my right hand alone, two beats per measure. Okay, so I don't know why that took me so long to get out. I had a brain lapse there. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Right. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then I continue. Right. I just continue through the circle of fourths. Then I go to a left hand alone. Right. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, I just continue this. Then I do hands together. 1, 2, 3, 4. Sorry. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so did I play that right? Yeah, there we go. So again, that's a little bit more difficult, doing both hands together. Then I play left hand bass note with my right hand chord. Right? And I continuously go through all the chords that way. Then I go to my left hand playing the bass note and hands together. Right? B flat, E flat, A flat. And I just go through all of them, you know, for that voicing. Now you should be able to do this with your major triads, your minor triads. So triads, again, is what I'm starting out with first. I just want to give that example of more advanced voicing to show the more advanced players that you can use it with any sort of voicing you're learning. So again, circle of fourths. Now, once you've played the voicing, now again, obviously tunes are not going to always be in circle of fourths, right? So we do not always want to practice the circle of fourths, right? We want to practice different ways of learning the chord. So because if we learn it like the circle of fourths, then when you see a random chord in there, it might throw you off. Excuse me. So it might throw you off. So, you know, you might be kind of like stunned for a second. So we want to practice as many ways as possible. So circle of fourths is the first way I recommend. Then whole steps. Okay. So whole steps is going to be whole steps up your major. You're starting from C first. Excuse me. So going by whole steps, you're basically playing a whole step scale, right? Whole tone scale. So you do that starting from C, and then you do it starting from D flat. Sorry, my fingering. So you take that triad, right? And then you just go up whole steps. Again, with a tempo. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. Now, when do you know that you've kind of mastered that tempo? Well, there's a tempo level in JPS that I use, and it's based off a 30 beat increment. So 60, 90, 120, 150, 180. Okay, so once you get to around 150 or 180, you've mastered it. You've learned it really, really well. 180, you've mastered it, right? So, and again, that'd be two beats. So it's almost as fast as that, I think, that you're going through that chord there, right? And then you go through the same steps. You take right hand alone, left hand alone, right? Doing all your triads. Then you do hands together. Okay, then you do right hand bass note, excuse me, right hand, left hand bass note. And then again, you're doing this for C, your C whole tone, and your D flat whole tone. Okay? So once you've done your whole steps, then you do half steps. You do the same system with half steps, right hand alone, then left hand alone, right? Then hands together, right? You just continuously go through the same thing. Then you come down, right? You got to go down as well. And this is for all voicings. I mean, imagine taking your altered voicing that I did before and doing this with your altered voicing. Right? And in both hands and going through. I mean, if you learn a voicing like this, I mean, there's no way you forget it. It's just going to be ingrained in your system, right? So we're at whole steps and half steps. Then comes the random part, right? Until I build an app that does this, which I'm going to do, I would make flashcards. I used to make flashcards. So you have your flashcards on your keyboard or your piano, and basically you mix them up. So you would have all the keys, C, A, you know, all 12 keys, and you mix up the keys. Then you just do this for the major. This is your very last step. You're going to do this for your major triads, right? It's the first chord you're starting with. So you might see an E, right? And then you might see D flat, then B, B flat, G. You try and go through all 12 keys as fast as you can without making a mistake, right? And that gives you, and when you're just going through the 12 keys, let's say you go through 12 keys like four or five times and you don't make any mistakes. Then when you get to the repertoire section that I'm going to get to, when you're playing tunes, it's like a walk in the park, right? For some more advanced voicings, like your rootless voicings, your drop twos, stuff like that, your seventh chords, doing this stuff is going to be like a walk in the park. And that's the level you want to get to before you start playing tunes. And that's the thing I see so many of my students come to. It's like, oh, I struggle playing these tunes so much. Well, you got to do work before that, before your tunes are going to start coming together. You know, and that's what I see so much, is that so many people are jumping around. They launch right into playing tunes. But there's so much you need to learn actually before your tunes will come together. And you'll find that the more you spend time on this stuff, your tunes are going to get better automatically. I'm going to show you how that happens with the JPS system. So you would use that entire voicing practice system. Okay, that's just for root position chords. You're going to go through all those steps using your right hand alone, left hand alone, with your circle of fourths, okay, your whole steps, your randomness, with all the different types of inversions for your triads, right? So you have first inversion and second inversion. You do that same thing. Then you take your seventh chords, okay? You do the same thing. Right hand alone, left hand alone for your root position, right? And then you go through the circle of fourths, whole steps, half steps. Random. Then you take your first inversion, go through that, right? Then finally, you got to combine everything. So for dominant chords, and this is just dominant chords, then you add in your minor sevenths, then your major sevenths, and then any other chords you want to learn, minor seven flat fives. Now, again, guys, this sounds like a lot of work, but it's a process. It's a systematic process that you follow that makes you better. I mean, just practicing tunes isn't going to make you better. This stuff makes you a better pianist, right? This is going to allow you to get better at the tunes that you want to play instantly. I mean, putting work into this is like practicing tunes in a different way, okay? So again, you go through any chord you want to learn, minor 7 flat 5, you go through the same system, then you take your inversions, right? You do the same thing. Then, let's say for dominant sevens, let's say you've done all the inversions and you want complete randomness, okay? And maybe you say you want to test complete randomness for your right hand. So you mix up all your flashcards and then you test complete randomness, which is all four inversions, right? Root, first, second, third, and, you know, that's it, fourth. four inversions, right? Well, three inversions, one root position. I don't know if there's a difference there, but anyway, you have four structures to practice, right? Then you mix all those up and you test all the keys. So you have 12 keys for root position, you have 12 keys for first, you have 12 keys for second, you have 12 keys for third inversion, right? You mix all those up and you put them on your piano and you test all those. Okay, so that's 48 different flashcards, right? You have a flashcard for each. The one might say first inversion C major 7. One might say second inversion, you know, A major 7, right? So you'd have this. And then you can put a right hand on them. Or you have another card that says right hand and left hand. So depending upon whether you get right hand or left hand, that will test whether you're using your right hand or left hand. Again, that's more advanced. Okay, so obviously I can go on for days on this step, but that's how systematically you flow through your practice of chords. So back to your assessment. And again, this is how the process of JPS works through voicings. It's systematically laid out. Now, your assessment point of this episode is going to come into where are your holes? Okay, where are the gaps? Like, you might have learned I've seen everything. I've seen absolutely everything. I mean, some students would come to me. I've seen people around, even players, great players. Even I have holes. Everyone has holes, right? And it's up to us to do truthful self-assessment. So you might have learned, you might just play second inversions all the time of a chord for no apparent reason. Like your go-to voicing for C major 7 may be this. You don't know why, and I'll tell you why. It's because this is what your teacher taught you, or this is what you learned out of a book, or this is what you copied from an arrangement off of YouTube, or an arrangement from a book, or you were reading arrangement, a transcription arrangement, and you saw that the notes were written like this. So every time you see a C major 7, you play this. Now, it could be any voicing, right? You have to ask yourself this question right now. What voicings do I always play? What do I always play for a C major 7? You may play root position. You may play a rootless first inversion, right? For structure A, you may play structure B, right? Of your rootless voicing. But ask yourself, what do I play? And again, you've learned this through, because again, the jazz education world out there teaches you in such a random discombobulated order that you're locked in. You've caged yourself into just that voicing. So you do not have complete freedom over that chord. And that's the goal of JPS, is to teach you how to develop complete freedom. That's why you're learning freedom through JPS, because when you start to practice these other things, you start to use this system, you break out of those habits that you've learned. You break up out of the habit of thinking that, oh, I need to learn specific voicings, and basically I learned this voicing, so that's what I'm going to use all the time. Or I learned this arrangement and I learned a voicing from that arrangement, so that's all I can play because I don't know how to use it. I don't know how to expand upon it. I don't know how to, use it with my right hand. You're locked into that one voicing you've always learned. So use the system. Ask yourself, where am I at? What do I need to fill? Do I know my major and minor triads? Do I know all my seventh chords? Do I know all my my minor seventh chords, right? Do I know my drop twos, my rootless voicing? So you may not even know what you don't know, right? So again, that's another thing. I mean, that's for a whole nother episode, is just going over what you need to learn. that's a whole nother ball game there. But assess yourself. I mean, that can be all found. Once you know all your dominant seventh chords, once you know all your seventh chords, major, minor, dominant, you know your minor 2-5 seventh chords, right? And you know your rootless voicing, it just keeps going further. Your drop twos, you can have drop 2-4 voicings. There's so many different voicings, different two-hand arrangements. Anyway, I got to keep going here. This episode is going to be 2 hours if I don't keep moving. So that's one theory component, I mean, that I focus on in JPS, right? The other theory components, and voicings is a big, huge part of it, right? Because it's just basically, I don't like to say infinite because it's not. I mean, there's not infinite amounts of possibilities on the keyboard. There's 88 keys. You have 10 fingers. It's limited, right? So diatonic harmony is next. I would assess yourself on diatonic harmony. Now, what is that? Basically, that's just the seven chords within any key, within all major keys and minor keys. So your diatonic harmony in all keys, there's seven chords that make up a key. So in the key of C has seven chords, starting on the one chord. One major, two minor seven, three minor seven, four major seven, five seven, 6 minor 7, 7 minor 7 flat 5. These are the chords built up out of C major using the notes from the C major scale. That's why it's diatonic harmony. All we're doing is shifting the chord up the C major scale, and it gives us 7 chords. You need to know your diatonic harmony, major and minor, through all keys. So if I say to you, what's the 3 chord in C major? You can say that's an E minor 7, right? Now, what's the 6 chord in a C major, in the key of C major? You can say that's an A minor 7. You need to know that in all keys, okay, for your major and minor harmony, right? And so where are you on that? Again, you need to assess all these different things. What can you work on with that? You know, you should be able to pick, and this is starting to deal with, you know, Roman numerals, right? Your 3 chord in the key of A flat, you should be like, that's C minor 7, right? Or your 2 chord in the key of F is G minor 7. That should come to you immediately, okay? Because you're going to need these later for progressions. Now, that deals with progressions, okay? Now, we also get into modes, which is connected with our chords, right? So there's a scale or a mode that goes with each chord. So not to get into this too much, but your C major 7 has an Ionian mode. And a lot of people are like, oh, what are, you know, I don't need to learn modes. It's just some fancy term, you know, blah, blah, blah. You need to learn modes. I guarantee you all the great players and any good player you hear can tell you what that is. You know, and it's very simple, okay? It's just how you wrap your head around it. And I believe I do a great job actually explaining this. You can listen to some of the previous podcasts to learn this material. A lot of the stuff I explain in here, you can listen to previous podcasts to learn all this material. So again, you need to know your modes in each key, right? So what's your Ionian mode is for your 1. So you would need to know, you know, your Dorian, your Phrygian, your Lydian modes. And again, those are just your major scale, but starting on different notes. So if I play my Ionian mode, that's the C major scale. If I play my Dorian mode, it's still the C major scale. I'm just starting on the 2. So it gives us different qualities in the scale. When I go up to the 3... the distance between 1 and 3 now, starting from the D, is a minor third. The distance between 1 and 3, starting on the C, is a major third. So the even though I'm playing the C major scale starting on the D, it sounds different because the intervals between the notes in the scale are different, okay? That's why you need to learn your modes. Now, these scales or these modes sync up. They relate to each chord. So if I'm playing a chord in my left hand and I'm using the Dorian mode, I'm gonna be matching my left hand. That's why it's important. The better you can do this, the better your playing is gonna sound. Okay, where are you on that? You know, that needs to be assessed. Okay, and learned too. Right, so rate yourself. Now, there's a lot of more advanced theory concepts. I mean, there's so many theory concepts, and again, JPS goes over as many theory concepts as I possibly could have given out. Reharms. Tritone theory concepts, relative minor concepts, sus theory concepts, using your sus chords for reharms, going over forms, right? Basically learning forms, rhythm changes, blues, intros and outros, dealing with progressions. I mean, assess yourself. Where are you on that? Bass lines, right? Walking bass. You know, stuff like that. Comping, group play. Extensions, right? Learning your extensions. So basically, you want to rate all these different components of the theory process in your learning theory, right? So again, theory is the first category in the JPS system. Now, once you've rated all that, we get to technique. Now, this is where it gets fun because the great thing about the method that I created, the system, is that everything relates to each other. Everything relates to what you practice. So just because you practice theory components doesn't mean that's it, right? It doesn't mean, okay, I learned this theory component, you know, now what? Everything's sequential. Everything's cumulative. Everything relates to the exercises you're doing so that you get better through each category. It's all connected. It's all interwoven to that. Basically, again, the final goal is to apply all of this stuff to a tune and, again, get, you know, allow you to express yourself through tunes and playing actual jazz music. So Technique is going to be the second category. Now, we don't just work on classical technique, you know, hand and chair knee, stuff like that. All the technical exercises that that I give in JPS is related to the theory exercise that you are working on. So if you're working on your modes, if you've just learned your modes or your chords, or you're working on a specific chord in theory, then your technique exercise is going to be based off that chord. So for example, let's say you're learning your C major 7 chord. Very, very simple. Your technical exercise is going to be something like arpeggiating your C major 7 chord. And you may be swinging it, right? Or maybe doing two octaves. Right? That's very difficult. Doing different patterns. There's a lot of different patterns in there. Instead of 1-3-5-7, going 3-5-1-7, just for example. Right? Or going... and then moving to the different chord and doing that same thing, right? So these different technical exercises are working on your coordination, your dexterity, right? Your mind to hand thought process and connection, okay? Again, for your modes are going to be the same, right? Working on your modes, maybe swinging them up to the seventh, okay? And as you start to move through your progressions, if you're working on your progressions in theory, okay, in JPS, right, your technical exercise will relate to that. So let's say you're working on your 2-5-1 progression in your theory portion of JPS. So you're working on D minor 7, going to G7, going to C major 7. So you're working on your 2-5-1s in all keys. Your technical exercise for your technique portion would be swinging your modes over the 2-5-1s. Then you go to your new key. Right? And so you're working on technique, but at the same time, you're bettering, right? You're improving your knowledge and theory knowledge of that specific component that you're working on. So it's all connected. And this is what I've found that has allowed people just to make massive, right, extreme amounts of progress in a little time. And it's not because it's not because it's a catch, right? It's not because there's strings attached or you don't have to do a lot of work, you know, or it's like lose 50 pounds in one day, you know. You're doing lots of work, but it's due to the way that the exercises are ordered and connected that people start to go, oh, wow, that never clicked for me, and I completely understand it now because each thing is connected to each other, and that's why it just helps people so much to make massive amounts of progress. So let me see. Other technical exercises you need to assess for yourself, right? So your modes and your scales, right? All major, minor scales, arpeggiating chords, I'd recommend, definitely assessing right hand alone, left hand alone, hands together, right? Line, different hexatonic, pentatonic lines, bebop scales, any sort of licks, you know, over certain chords that you're learning or lines, transcriptions, you know, let's say you're learning a major 7 line. Again, that kind of stuff actually is more advanced because I really like to teach people how to improvise rather than just using lines. But let's say you're at a point where you're learning more vocab, right? You're learning more vocab language. So if you're working on major 7 chords, then that line, that would be your technique line, and you'd play your left-hand chord in different manners. You could play your left-hand chord. You could walk bass. You know, maybe you're playing stride. Then you go to your new key. Right? So, in B flat, you keep doing that, but in all different ways so that, again, you're getting all these different technical assets, you know, and benefits from technique. But at the same time, you're working on so many other different things. You're working on improv. You're working on your theory knowledge. You're working on how, the lines connect with the chord. You're working on different left-hand components, stride, walking bass, you know, just your left-hand chord, your rootless voicing, stuff like that. There's so much more going on, even subconsciously, you don't even realize while using this system that you have no choice but to get better. Okay, so that's the technique section. Assess where you are with that. What needs to improve in your technique? I mean, are you able to arpeggiate all your dominant, your chords, right? Are you able to play your bebop scale in all keys, you know, with your right hand? Are you able to play all your major and minor scales? And again, for a lot of you, and it's sad, again, I say this a lot, but a lot of you just don't know what technical, you know, what technical exercises you can assess, right? You don't know what theory exercises you should be learning. And that is the whole purpose of JPS. I give that to you, right? I give you those exercises so you know, okay, this is the exercise I need to be working on. But again, assess what you have been working on. So, and obviously there's certain simple things I'm sure you've worked on. You know, you can improve upon those and come up with other exercises as well that you can try and make better. Hold on, guys. I got to grab some water. My voice is going. Hold on one sec. Okay. All right, I'm back. So we are on to improv. All right, so in the improv section, again, JPS relates all the categories together. So your improv work is synced up to the level that you're in, right? So again, if you're in the beginner level, there's three levels in JPS. If you're in the beginner level, then, you know, you're learning beginner things, right? Beginner theory topics. Again, everything starts with the theory. You're learning beginner theory topics. Then your technique is beginner, which relates to your theory. Then your improv is beginnerish because it relates to your theory as well. So all the categories, you know, if you picture a graph bar, right, with these four categories, they all move up at the same time. You know, that's that's the best part about the system. And students, if you made a graph bar, I guarantee if you made a graph bar of your strengths and weaknesses right now, it may be like improv is skyrocketed, like 100 points, right? 98 points. And then your theory may be at like 10, right? Just a little itty bitty bar. And then, you know, technique may be in the middle, right? Repertoire may be like midway, 70. Right? Then you get another student where it's like, oh, his technique and theory are like 98, 90, but improv is like 2. You know what I mean? So with JPS, because all the categories are connected, you're filling all holes at the same time. All the bars move up together as you're working through the lessons. Sorry, I get on these tangents. I just anyway, improv. Okay, so you need to assess where you are with improv. If you don't know how to improvise at all, then, you know, that needs to happen. But exactly how do we do that? If you know how to improvise, but you sound a certain way, it's hard to assess, you know, what you need. Hopefully if you have a teacher that can listen to you, but there's different things I can tell you right now that I can explain to you and just say, okay, if you can take a chord, right, and create an improvised melody off of it, you're at a certain level. So if you can, you need to be able to swing, right, swing your eighth notes. If you don't know how to do that, that's something you can assess yourself on. But really the first thing you should be able to do is improvise lines using the chord tones of chords and move through a tune, right? So let's say I just take a 2-5-1 for now. Right, you should be able to improvise using the chord tones from these chords and create lines that move through the chords. All right, so 1, 2, 3, 4. Right, so those are just nice, simple melodies that I'm playing using the chord tones. I mean, that's all I have at my disposal right now is using chord tones, but I can create simple lines. Now, if I were to play a piece like, let me see, I'm just trying to think of a standard off my head. Have You Met Miss Jones, right? I should be able to improvise, don't worry about my left hand, but improvise using the chord tones of the tune and create a nice melody. Okay, 1, 2. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4. know, so sorry, I had a couple of mistakes in there, but just creating a simple melody like that using chord tones should be really second nature. All right. And the way you do that is starting with one chord. Just improvise melodies using the chord tones to one chord. Okay. Then obviously learning your modes is going to help you improvise. Then we start to work on the connection of your chord tones using the mode. So here are your connections. Excuse me. Here are your chord tones. Here's your connection. Let me get some water. That's the next step, right? So instead of just playing all chord tunes, we can use the connecting notes to connect the chord tunes. 1, 2, 3, 4. Right? So you have the notes in between the chord tones that are used as connectors to get to that point. Then after you've done that with one chord, you need to obviously practice on all the chords, right? F major 7, B flat major 7, all your minor chords, all your dominant chords, right? And I know that seems like a lot, but it actually comes very quickly. Then you start to connect the chords, right? Then you connect C major to F major 7, right? So how does your chord tones connect? That's a connection. I'm landing on a chord tone on the downbeat. Right? So that's a connect. I've just connected C major 7 to F major 7. Then let's say the next chord in the tune was an E flat major 7. I would need to connect my F major 7 to the E flat. So I might go. Right? So I just connected three chords. So you need to work on your progression connections, you know, through with your chord tones, with your modes, right? So that way, instead of using all chord tones, now you're using your modes to connect to the next chord. Right, so you see how you can already start to hear the beginnings of improvisation. Like, I just played the most simplest thing. So I played C major 7, F major 7. Where did I go to next? E flat major 7. I'm just working on my connections with major 7 chords. This is at the point where you're working on random chords, though, right? You want to work in the circle of fourths. Practice connecting all your major chords through the circle of fourths, okay? Then go through basically the steps I outlined in the voicings. You can go through your whole steps and then random chords. But again, you saw with my connections, I'm creating simple melodies with just my chord tones and my modes, my connectors, right? That was different than what I played before, but you know, you get the picture. So then what we do after we're working on connections, I mean, we can connect everything. So if I'm playing a minor chord, right, I might connect this to a dominant 7, maybe a B flat 7, going to A flat major. So we have C minor 7 going to B flat 7 going to A flat major 7. So here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, I wasn't using any bebop approaches. I wasn't using any licks. I wasn't using any, any sort of things I've copied in the past. All I was using was chord tones, the landing of chord tones on the chord that switches. So every time a chord switch, I'd land on a chord tone. And I was using the modes from those chords. Now, if you can't do what I just did, right, then that initial fundamental work of learning your, you know, this is where the theory work comes into place, because if you're not doing that theory work, you're not going to be able to do everything I just did. That's why you work on theory, technique, then improv. So your improv is more or less the last step before we start to implement this stuff into tunes. Okay. Now, if you can do what I just did, then you start to work further. So then we start to use approach notes. This is where we get into bebop approach notes. And you can listen to one of the podcasts on bebop approach notes. And again, this is approaching your chord tones with different approach notes. So half step below, chord scale above, or maybe a combination. right? Stuff like this. Now, when you get into dominant chords, you're going to start to make that bebop sound with the approach notes that lead into the chord tones. But if you didn't learn your diatonic harmony, if you didn't practice your technique exercises to go with your diatonic harmony, and if you didn't practice your improv exercises to go with the diatonic harmony, meaning you're working on soloing with your modes, with your chord tones, then when you get to this bebop approach step, or let's say someone showed you a bebop approach line, you have absolutely no idea what is going on, right? Or how to use it, or you have no freedom over it. It controls you. Instead of controlling it and using it as a tool, it controls you, and you continuously begin to box yourself more and more and more. And this is, you know, the only reason I just want to say this is because I was in that exact position. I mean, this was my career journey to a T through growing up. I started in sixth grade trying to learn jazz piano, and it took me forever. And even in school, you know, I studied with so many different teachers. And again, it was still so random that when I went to teach, and finally, after about 15 years, I created 10 years, I started to put this stuff together because I started to teach and I wanted my students to not feel boxed or caged. I wanted them to grow and open rather than shutting down and feeling held hostage by licks and voicings, you know, that you randomly learn or bits and pieces that you really, I wanted people to open up so that they were using these tools rather as a cage, but to build these magnificent, you know, houses, or, you know, I want to create architects who understand the blueprint of the house rather than just saying, okay, here's the template for one house and that's all you can build. You can only build it because you've learned to use these tools. Building one house, you can't build other houses, or your mind can't open up. But architects can design whatever they want, right? They can draw and envision and create whatever type of house they want to build because they know the tools to do that. So anyway, back to improv. Sorry, I went off on another tangent. So again, we are learning how to do that. And then we start to add our approach notes. Sorry. And again, approach notes is going to give you that bebop sound, right? Stuff like that. I mean, you know, you just however bebop sounds. All that stuff is created through approach notes. But if you don't learn, again, if you don't learn your diatonic harmony, then you don't really know how that works. So assess yourself where you're at with your improv. I mean, where is your improv at? Do you know a little bit of bebop? Do you not? Do you know, some more modern lines, your pentatonic, hexatonic approaches for your modern harmony? Just assess what you're able to do with your improv. I've given you a lot of information that you can use and say, oh, okay, I need to go back and revisit this, or I need to really work on this, you know, for your improv. And again, if you're working on a theory, if you're working on some theory category, then tie your improv into that theory category. If you're working on your major seven chords, right, learning your major seven chords, take your technique exercise and relate it to that, to learning your major seven chord, then create an exercise, you know, in improv that relates to your major seven chord. That way everything's working, in harmony simultaneously. So your exercise, for example, might just be to solo with your C major seven chords, right? And again, you can, no matter what level you're at, I mean, even I can continuously do this. If you're working, let's say you're more of an advanced player, right? And you're working on your bebop approaches or connections. You can work on random connection, or maybe you're working on your half-step connections, right? You can work on all minor half-step connections with bebop approaches. So I love doing this. You don't have to use this voicing here in my left hand. You can just use, you know, your voicings, whatever voicing you want. But the exercise would be to work on your minor connections using bebop lines or bebop approaches to get to your next chord, right? So G minor, A flat minor, A minor, B flat minor, and then you come down, right? So, and the purpose here is to just work on connections. And you don't necessarily, you can target your chord tones if you want, but if you're more an advanced player, you can target extensions. Like some of the extensions I targeted, like I hit the 11, sometimes the 9. This is all dependent upon what level you're at. So you can do 4 beats per chord. So again, I mean, you know, I stumbled a couple of times. This is not an easy exercise, right? Then you can do your 2/5s. You can work on 2/5s, so 2 beats per chord, G minor, C7, A flat minor, D flat. Then practice your connections through all of those, going up and down in half steps. Sorry. You know, this, again, this is not an easy exercise. I'm playing it very fast, too. So I wouldn't recommend playing it that fast. You can just go as slowly as you need to, right, in order to start doing that. You can move up and down in different directions, right? So however you want to do it. But again, the process, what I'm trying to say to you guys is the process is the same no matter what level you're at. I mean, if you're at that level, then you want to assess what you need to do. I mean, there's things I can work on as well. I'm in no way, you know, just, I have so many weaknesses. I can't even tell you guys. Like, and I need to be truthful with the assessment of my playing to what I need to work on. I mean, my connections can be much better too. So think about where you're at, right? Think about what you need to work on, no matter what skill level you're at, and really make an assessment of your improv, okay? So the last category here we're going to do, this is the magic category, all right? This is where I have all my notes here. Hold on. This is the magic category. And bear with me, this is the last category here. So, repertoire. Now, the magic of JPS, if I can be a little arrogant here, is is that so many times, you know, this is what would happen is that in my lessons or just on my own, when I was starting out, I would want to play jazz tunes, and that's so common, and that's completely okay. We all want to get better at playing jazz. That's our goal. So, but what happens is that we immediately flock to playing jazz tunes when we are not equipped at all to play them. So what ends up happening is we default to learning how to play these tunes in the easiest manner possible. And usually that is by playing a tune based off of how our teacher shows us how to play it. And this is exactly what happened in so many of my lessons, right? So my teachers would say, here, watch me play it, and then you can get ideas from the way I play it, right? So they would show me, you know, how to play a tune, and they'd play something. Now, this little line here, that was shown to me literally in sixth grade. And, shoot, the camera just went off. Hold on one second. I'm actually going to pause this. Give me one sec, guys. All right, well, the camera shut off for all YouTube players, video players. I'm sorry. But you can continue to listen to this. There's no camera anymore because I used up all the film. There's 1 hour footage on the camera. But anyway, that little lick there, okay, you can still listen to the audio without seeing. You don't really, there's not much advanced stuff, so you don't even need to see. But again, that little line there was, I play that to this day because it's the way, you know, it's what he showed me to do. But it's funny because I learned 3 tunes. A lot of you guys can probably relate to this. I learned 3 tunes. I learned If I Were a Bell, Yesterday's, and Beautiful Love. So Yesterday's. Right? I learned those 3 tunes from my teacher. He showed me how to play them. I only knew those three tunes for like years because I just learned the tune from him, right? I had no idea like how to approach playing the tunes. You know, he showed me the chords and kind of talked about the chords in the tune. Now, no offense to this teacher or anything. I mean, he's a fantastic teacher. Obviously, I'm not going to say names, but you guys may experience this a lot in your journey. I experience this to this day for certain things. And again, for repertoire, we want to try and play tunes as quickly as possible. But the way that the system's set up kind of, and I'm sure a lot of you have it can relate to this, that it's just, it doesn't set us up for success. It doesn't build our foundation that will allow us to, you know, have freedom over jazz standards. Basically, it cages us into playing tunes the exact same way how we've been taught or how we read a transcription, right? We can download transcriptions of the way other people play tunes. A lot of people will read jazz tunes with the music, and that's the way you learn how to play them, and you always play those tunes like this. So my point being, the repertoire section, now we've worked through theory, we've worked through technique, we've worked through improv, we've done all the work, you know, and again, that's not easy. I'm not discrediting the work that goes into that. There's so much work, and people will kind of see, you know, an advertisement for Jazz Piano School and be like, oh, there's no easy way for success. You know, I understand that. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying Jazz Piano School sets you up for success as long as you put the work in. You could put the work into learning a tune, how it's arranged and how your teacher taught you. That doesn't mean you're going to be able to play other tunes, though. It doesn't mean you're going to be able to improvise the exact same way that he did over that tune. It just means you know how to only improvise that way over that tune. And that's not success. That's not freedom with jazz. And ultimately, our goal is to create freedom in jazz. I mean, that's why we love jazz, because of the freedom, the improv. I mean, we want to be able to sit down and just let ourselves express. That's what we all want to be able to do and create these beautiful, lush sounds, right? So now we're at repertoire section. We're putting everything we've learned. So we've worked on our chords. We worked on our harmonies, our improv. Technically, we can play through those things. Now we pick a tune to apply all of the knowledge that we've learned to that tune. And when you do this, it creates the best environment possible for you to learn the tune. And it allows you to play any tune that you want. You can apply all that knowledge to any tune you want, thus allowing you freedom over any tune. So you have the freedom now over the tunes. The tune doesn't control you, okay? Now, when assessing where you are with tunes, right, a lot of this part is going to come back to your pre-work in your theory section, your pre-work in your technique section, your pre-work in your improv section, right? So again, learning tunes, though, you can go to the learning tunes process that I use in JPS in one of the podcasts, the steps that I show you how to do that. But you want to assess how you're playing the tune. Are you just using root position chords, right, because that's all you know? Are you just using inversions because that's all you know? Are you voice leading, right? Are you just using chords, no bass note? Are you using chord to shells, right? What's your tempo like? What's your time like? Are you using all downbeats, right? Right, this sounds very beginnish. If I play that same thing with upbeats. Sorry. Instead of this. Right, there's a huge difference in rhythm and where you place your chords without even changing notes. So what's your feeling like? Do you know stylistically components? Like, are you able to play ballads? Do you know how to play ballads? Blueses, fast tempo, medium tempo. And again, the repertoire section in JPS is broken down into two categories, solo piano and group playing, because they're completely different. Pretty much for the most part, right? Solo piano, and again, a lot of the episodes, in the upcoming episodes in the next week are going to talk about the solo piano system I created. I'm going to walk you through the steps. But solo piano is just a monster, right? You can easily start to play in a group because you're just playing left-hand voicings and right-hand melody. Solo piano, you have to do everything, right? So Are you able to play bass lines? Like, are you able to jump to your chord? Do you know your shells or your voice leading? You know, how's your right hand harmonization underneath melodies? You know, and again, the extensions I'm using, all that stuff comes from theory. So you're not going to be able to add the extension. So your sound may sound like this. Just a regular dominant seventh chord over that chord. You may not even be harmonizing underneath the melody like this. It may sound like this. Or it may sound like this. Right? That's very beginner sounding because you're not harmonizing under the melody. You're not using bass notes. You don't have a good balance. There's a lot of different components and issues, or not issues, I should say, but just certain facts. It's factual information that I've put into the solo piano system that say, yeah, that's why you sound like that. I mean, it's not because of your playing or anything like that. It's just because you're not doing certain things that make you sound better, right? There's just better ways to arrange certain components. So think about where you are in your repertoire tunes. And again, a lot of this, guys, may be you just don't know what to do next. You don't know how to make yourself better. You don't know what to practice to get better. You don't know what to do to add into your playing to allow you to sound like more of an advanced player. And that's completely okay. So I create these podcasts so that you can try and piece together the information. But again, the JPS, right, the main course, the paid membership, I give you all of that. I give you everything, right? So you're not guessing. You don't have to say, oh, what do I practice to make myself sound more advanced? It's a cumulative course that, again, ups the bar graphs in each level, right? So again, we're on repertoire. So you're going to know what to practice to improve your ballads. You're going to know what to practice so you don't sound like this, right? Right? You know, it would sound more like this. You know, there's a complete difference stylistically between the first thing I played and the second thing I played, you know, or adding more reharms. Right? Stuff like that. You know, how do you get that sound? That's what I love helping people with. Is how do you get from point A to point B, and I lay it all out for you. But anyway, in your repertoire section, assess how your tunes are going. Assess how many tunes you know, how many styles you know, how many tempos you know, time signatures as your group playing. Again, you want to split this into two segments, solo and group. Are you able to comp in your group playing with both hands? Are you able to comp for someone else? Are you able to comp for yourself? Are you able to play different styles in the group? Are you able to keep time for yourself in the solo piano, you know, in fast tunes? Are you able to keep time if the time is at 200? Are you able to keep time if the time's at 60? And what do I mean by keep time is just keep the momentum of the tune, right? So let me see. Right? Are you able to keep that momentum going at a fast tempo? Are you able to fill the space, use certain components to fill a slow tempo? 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. And right, stuff like that. If it's a very slow tune, do you know how to fill that space? Do you know how to hold the tempo of a slow tempo? That's usually harder. So that wraps it up. This is probably the longest podcast I've ever done, but it's going to kick your year off. It's going to make you rethink your learning education for jazz, right? For jazz piano. And again, work from the categories, right? I'm not saying you need JPS to learn. I'm saying it is a great option, right? And it's helped thousands of people. And that's exactly why I'm doing this, because so many of my students, I would teach them before JPS was even created. I had the system. I used it on myself. I used it with my students. And my students would say, Brendan, this is phenomenal. I mean, I've gotten so much better. I love the way you're showing me in bite-sized chunks all these different things. And they say, you need to help people. You need to show this to other people so they can learn as well. That's essentially what happened, how JPS was created. But again, I mean, you can work from the categories yourself, but just remember to relate them. So if you're working on a theory topic first, relate all your other exercises to that theory topic, right? Or, you know, if you want to improve your improv, work on your improv and then relate it to, you know, other components so everything gets better at the same time, right? You're kind of assessing your strengths and weaknesses, and usually, it will be that the fundamentals or something in theory needs to improve in order for everything else to improve, right? You can't just improve your improv without improving these other categories. And that's why, you know, I picked those categories, because basically everything falls under one of those categories, one of those four categories. Everything that you could possibly want to learn in jazz falls under one of those categories, and they can all relate to each other to help you improve. So, I'm going to take a breath here. So again, if you want the assessment outline checklist of basically everything I talked about today, you can grade yourself on some of the main categories. In the checklist, I it's more organized than I spoke of today. I was kind of, you know, going through everything, summarizing everything. But there's a lot of categories on there that I didn't speak of, some things I just left out because it's just the rabbit hole's too big, right? It just keeps going. You can download that checklist at jazzpianoschool.com/podcast69. Rate, assess yourself, you know, go through everything for the new year, lay out a plan, okay? Get stuff going. Even if you have a teacher, right? If you have a teacher, this will help. And one of our goals at JPS, my goals, is to help create teacher resources. Actually, there's going to be a teacher portal for teachers to use these resources to teach. You know, a lot of teachers in schools and universities use a lot of, you know, teacher teaching resources, right, to teach their students. So that's what I want. I'm gonna do that this year in JPS, and actually a college is about to start using JPS as well. There's going to be a bunch of colleges soon. But we're going to be implementing this into colleges too for the students. So again, it's a very, very organized and structured system that everyone can benefit from. So anyway, the next couple podcast episodes are going to be on the solo piano system, because we're going to be releasing that to the public last week in January, I believe, but I'll give you a more specific date. But I'm going to be doing the solo piano system in the next couple episodes. Some people have requested a Latin series podcast. I'm going to be doing that in February, okay? So that's it. I hope you guys got a lot out of this episode. There's a lot of information here, right? So I would probably re-listen to this episode if you can handle me speaking a mile a minute and excited, my excitedness, you know, excitement. Wow, I'm losing my brain now too. But, you know, re-listen to this, go over it again. Really spend some time reflecting on your skill level, your assessment, and I guarantee it will help you make significant amounts of progress in 2017 with like a laid out plan for each of these categories that you're going to work on by yourself or with a teacher or just with the resources off the internet. All right. So I will talk to you in the next episode. If you guys we're at 50 five-star reviews. My goal was to get to 100 before the 100th podcast episode. Still looking for some more five-star reviews. I thank you to everyone who's giving a five-star review. I really, really appreciate it. And I will talk to you guys in the next episode. That's it. Okay. And as always, happy practicing.